filing period opened a week ago. I believe you were there on Monday.
I filed the first day, yeah. And so we're off and running for another term.
What fuels that desire to keep going and file for another term here?
Well, it's a good question because the circumstances are not anything that I think anybody would have predicted. The long-running, grinding damage, grinding down of the federal budget and federal investments in education and healthcare and infrastructure, all of that has been coming on us for quite some time from the Tea Party election of 2010, a very, very destructive turn, both in terms of the control of the Congress, but the sharp right turn of the Republican Party and the leveraging of the Republican Party by far-right forces. So that's been coming a long time. Of course, it desperately needs to be reversed. But then what's given it almost an emergency feel is Donald Trump. And with Donald Trump, you have all the worst tendencies coming out in terms of the budget and our national priorities. But you also have, I think, a truly dangerous president and a kind of reckless, erratic quality. Just look at the tweet storm, the nine-hour tweet storm over this past weekend in reaction to the indictment of the Russians, and then incredibly insensitive to the situation almost next door down there in Florida with this horrific shooting. I mean, the guy things are closing in on the guy. Who knows what the Russians have on him, and who knows what he's going to do? A couple of months ago, I co-authored an op-ed piece with Madeleine Albright about the foreign policy implications. That really is an element that we just didn't anticipate. I've gotten more involved in foreign policy through the House Democracy Partnership, this work we do developing countries, parliaments in developing countries. I'm now on the State Department Foreign Operations Appropriations Committee. I just have a sense that this is, as we said in that article, an Article One moment, which is to say the first branch of government, Congress, needs to assert itself, and people like myself need to take it to a new level in terms of the kind of pressures we're exerting, the kind of assurances we're offering where necessary, the kind of role we assume in foreign policy. So that adds to the sense of the unique importance of this election, a need to reverse the long-term Tea Party trend of inadequate investment in our country. And I do that, of course, with my transportation and housing subcommittee position. I believe, assuming we take the House, I fully expect to be chairman of that committee and erecting a bastion against the president, but also beginning to set a new benchmark in terms of domestic investment, but then also the need to assert ourselves as an institution to correct this the really dangerous tendencies we see in foreign policy.
What are you able to – you've been very vocal, and there's certainly an element of that in the overall opposition to the Trump administration. But beyond that, with the position of Democrats in the minority in the House and Senate, what are you – what other things are you able to do to either push against that agenda or else accomplish something that's on your list of things that you'd like to get done?
Well, that's a very important question because we are in the minority. We don't control – we Democrats don't control the House, Senate, or the presidency. And yet life has to go on. Government has to go on. And so I've always had this mantra, cooperate where you can, resist where you must. The trouble is the cooperation side of that has become much, much more difficult. That's not to say it's totally impossible. I mean, the work I described, the parliament-to-parliament work I described, is totally nonpartisan, and that has continued despite the downgrading of this kind of work with other countries by the Trump administration. We have continued that from the congressional side. Appropriations, if you can get a budget agreement, get a a top-line number that gets you off of sequestration levels, which we do now have for the rest of this fiscal year. My Republican chairman and I can write an appropriations bill that that at least doesn't lose ground, let's put it that way, with respect to transit. And I know very well, because of our interests here in the Triangle, you got to keep that transit pipeline flowing. The Tiger grants that are building Union Station over in Raleigh and so many other good things. Our housing stock. I mean, we are under-resourcing virtually every HUD program. And our public housing stock is deteriorating and on and on. I mean, there's so much we need to do. It's not totally impossible to get bipartisan cooperation on that, fortunately. The Appropriations Committee has that tradition. Trouble is we so often get swamped by Tea Partyism, by the Republican budgets, which this has gone on now for so many years. The Republican budgets typically come in. They're just impossible, sequestration levels of funding. And then finally, after a lot of drama, a lot of unnecessary drama, shutdowns, near shutdowns, you finally get a budget agreement for the rest of the fiscal year. Okay, we're now in year five of that pattern. But it does address what you ask, because there is cooperation that's possible if you can get a budget agreement. But why should you have to go through all this to do your most basic task? And we just need to elect new members. In my opinion, we need a change in control. We need 24 seats on the Democratic side to regain leadership of the House of Representatives. And I just honestly think that is where change is going to come from. We'll do the best we can, you know, with the hand we're dealt. But we need to have change in this country, and the 2018 election is absolutely critical in producing that change. That, in a nutshell, is why it's maybe not such a small nutshell, but it's a big topic, but pretty straightforward, really. That's why I'm running again.
With the primary challengers, with Michelle Laws and Richard Watkins both announcing as of this recording, they haven't officially filed, but certainly anticipating that. What's your reaction to that, and how do you view that?
Well, I have had primary challenges before. There have been various situations that I've dealt with in prior elections, and with all the activism and energy that's out there, a lot of people are deciding they want to run. But I don't ever take anything for granted. I'm going to head straight for a Democratic majority that we've got to gain. I'm going to do everything I can. Of course, I will do my very best to secure this district. But beyond that, I'm a team player, and it's extremely important that we devote our attention to the team effort. If you talk to our state representatives, you're going to find the same attitude. We appreciate the support we have here in Chapel Hill, Orange County, the Triangle. But we need reinforcements, and so I'm running partly because of that as well, just the need for a national change. This is an election that, as I said, the circumstances we didn't fully anticipate until Donald Trump landed upon us. And we have a unique threat because of him and because of the failure of the Republican Congress to stand up to him. But we also have a unique opportunity. I do believe we will win back the House of Representatives. I want to be part of that, need to be part of that, because once that happens, I will be in a position to set a new benchmark for housing and transportation, and that will be extremely important going forward. We don't want to just be the anti-Trump party, or I don't want to be an anti. I am an anti-Trump congressman, but that's not the total story. The total story is that we want to be proactive again. We want to be once again investing in our country, and so much has lagged. There's a lot of work to do, but I do think this election provides both a unique challenge and a unique opportunity, and that's why I feel I simply must be part of it.
You've held a few town halls in district recently. I know you were just in Carrboro few weeks ago, it seems like. So what have you heard from those at those town hall meetings, and what are you looking forward to working on in this campaign season and then possibly in another term?
The town hall meetings are as energized as I've ever seen them. We have had a lot of them. There's a great demand for public forums, and so I've had I think 10 or 11 all over the district. Plus, we've had also more politically oriented meetings in coffee houses and breweries after hours, and those also get a somewhat younger crowd and a more explicitly political discussion. People are energized, and I just have come off of a weekend of visiting precinct meetings, precinct clusters as we call them in the Democratic Party, where all over Wake and Durham and Orange counties. Democratic activists have been gathering to plot our course for, the county conventions and the party events, but also for the election. And the energy level there is very high. So there are all kinds of independent groups. So part of it is resistance. Part of it is figuring out how to resist this president and the whole array of things, most starting, I think, the most mean-spirited and disturbing area of Trump policy, I think, has to do with immigration. So we of course, need to pass legislation regarding the Dreamers and broader reform, but we also need to figure out how to use the courts, how to use our powers in the Congress of oversight to just all means deployed to resist these immigration policies, and there's just so much where that applies. So yes, I'm very much part of that resistance and part of that effort to figure out how Congress can assert itself in these various areas. But as we said earlier, we're not just the anti-Trump party. We can't just be that. That's fueling a lot of this. But I think everybody at these meetings wants to see us assure people's health care isn't taken away, just at a minimum. Let's expand Medicaid, for goodness sakes, in this state. Let's protect the Affordable Care Act and the people who depend on that, and then take other steps on health care. But let's protect our community health centers, our children's health insurance programs. Let's play effective defense, and then be ready to be proactive in this and other areas. I particularly am involved with housing. I'm eager to get going in elderly housing, in housing for the disabled, in reducing these waiting lists for rental assistance, people who need that, so they're not spending 60-70% of their income on housing. There's just such a backlog. I guess the other major area for me is transportation. We've underinvested in infrastructure. I wish that in the Recovery Act, wish we could have done more. Although that we did some things there that have lagged since then under Republican resistance. But once again, transit as a major mode of transport in our communities. Intercity rail. Of course, upgrading our airport, making the investments in infrastructure that our great country needs. And the list goes on, but you get the idea. I mean, there's a lot of work to do in resisting a uniquely reckless and dangerous president, but also in charting a positive path forward.
Congressman David Price, running for another term in the U.S. House of Representatives, representing the 4th District of North Carolina. Thank you very much.
Thank you.